Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast. Relevant and engaging content designed to help you dominate the day.
All right, this is the second ACS debate. It is also scheduled for one fall, and I expect this to be a good one. Resolved, Reboa is life-saving. Now, introducing first and fighting out of the pro position, a relentless advocate for innovation, hemorrhage control, expensive bourbon, and good barbecue, coming out of Houston, Texas, Dr. Brian Cotton. And across the aisle and fighting out of the con position, calculated, composed, ready to counter, a military hero and legend, Dr. Marty Schreiber out of Portland, Oregon. Same rules apply. 15 minutes each at most, and then we'll have a little rebuttal period. And like they say in this great town, let's get ready to rumble.
All right, good morning. So again, we are all at our essence, at our core, blood doctors. We give blood and we stop bleeding. And again, hemorrhage is the problem that Reboa addresses. Uncontrolled hemorrhage is the leading cause of preventable death and trauma. We all know that. And you can get better control with the right tools. You can see one of my sons here is going to live with the tourniquet. One of my sons is going to die with the Elmo doll tied around his leg. And in case anyone has any doubt, I am the tourniquet and Marty is Elmo. So it's absolutely not a definitive treatment, but it is a great bridge to hemostasis. Reducing hemorrhage, it's going to restore coronary and cerebral perfusion pressure. It's going to buy you time to get to the right place, which is either IR or OR, depending on where you're dealing with it. Bottom line, it treats what we need, and it takes a physiologic insult away. It's immediately and predictable on its ability to take care of perfusion centrally, as well as coronary and cerebral blood flow. And it can be the difference between a salvageable and unsalvageable patient. It can take you a patient that is dying en route to the OR versus someone that is at best alive and at worst in extremis. It's less invasive, morbid than an ED thoracotomy and a cross clamp, and it's performed percutaneously with reduced exposure to body fluids and minimizing procedure morbidity, which should not be discounted. Lots of body fluids going around when Marty's doing an ED thoracotomy. Reboa offers similar proximal control as well with less anatomic insult. And again, we don't want to be debriefing with Schreiber in the corner after a failed ED thoracotomy. Again, the current versions are much, much safer, a lot less obnoxious than the ones that were like as long as this table back when they initially came out, the giant wires. Now it's a small little sheath, 4 to 7 French profiles, a lot easier to do ultrasound, guided access, partial and intermittent Reboa strategies. Hell, we even let ER and OB place these things. So it's really, really low profile and easy to get into. Non-compressible torso hemorrhage, again, profound hemorrhage, refractory to initial insults, and in imminent arrest. However, these catheters should only be used in settings where definitive control is available and not for transferring patients, as the UK Reboa study, and that's where it failed. It was used selectively, though. Reboa can overcome these things in an otherwise fatal trajectory into a survival trajectory. Again, aortic zone 3 is what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about getting silly and going to zone 1. God bless Deb Stein. Love her like a sister. However, that's stupid. Zone 3 is where you need to be. Zone 2, you never want to be in. Life-threatening OB guide hemorrhage. This is where we've seen it personally. I've personally seen it at our hospital, saving women's lives and turning that obstetrical disaster into a controlled situation. You got a lot of high in real estate down there, a lot of blood vessels down there, and this can take care of a lot of that bleeding until we can get some actual hands in there and get control of the blood loss. with the Acretas is changed the game at our place from a crashing multi-cooler transfusion into our ICU to one where we put a Reboa sheath in after the epidural's placed. And then when they call us, if they get into bleeding, we just slip the Reboa catheter right in there. It doesn't take seconds. And it's truly, truly helped with these Acretas in our settings. Again, very dense, rich blood vessels down there, whether it's from OB hands, OB hemorrhage, or whether it's from a pelvic fracture and things like that. This is a game changer. Again, you can have all these things and you can look like Marty over here, like Edward Scissorhands, and be going after and trying to get control and flailing, or you can put something nice and simple in and get control of it with a Reboa catheter. We could have all this blood loss, or again, get control when you have the opportunity. Rapid common femoral artery cannulation, deploy it really quickly. Femoral access can be achieved again and Reboa deployed very rapidly. It's something we do quite a bit on the OB side of things, not as much on the trauma side, but man, our OB, it has been a massive, massive game changer. And then again, let's get into the Reboa study from the UK. Absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. Glad my name's not on it, but a pragmatic Bayesian design randomized controlled trial, 16 different UK trauma centers. And again, if Brohe was here, I'd put trauma centers in quotes, but Brohe's not here, so I'm not going to talk shit out of him behind his back. A total of 90 patients, which is, I think, what some of us see in a weekend, coming through in hemorrhagic shock for randomized standard of care with or without the addition of a Reboa. The study spanned almost 5 years, during which significant changes occurred in resuscitation of these patients, and it likely impacted that in addition to an evolution of the Reboa catheters available. So all-cause mortality both groups was actually higher than most reported studies evaluating similar bleeding patients. And again, you'll see that with Tower and Swift and these other studies that are coming out of bleeding patients. This 54% in the Reboa arm, 42% in the standard care arm, both of which are extremely high and kind of outliers. Again, 16 different trauma centers, whopping 90 patients, almost 5 years. So there's a lot of stuff going on to unpack as well. 40% of the Reboas were simply just had an arterial line placed. So of course, you're not going to get much of a difference there. Unfortunately, a lot of those needed the catheter deployed, but they only got the sheath placed. And then among those with catheters placed, only 40% over 40% only had partial inflation of it. And the authors argued again that clinicians likely determined the balloon would no longer be intervened. But again, if you're going to buy an intervention on a randomized controlled trial, you got to follow through with it. And again, so it wasn't truly tested in this study. Another concern, again, which can be addressed as well, larger cohort, despite randomization, there appeared to be more severe head injuries. We noticed that in one of our randomized trials we did, where we had a, weirdly enough, because it wasn't a powered large enough, it was only about 100 patients in our study, that the head injuries were disproportionately in our intervention arm. So it can and does occur without a large enough size trial. But again, at the end of the day, just like Cryostat 2, if you're familiar with that, the enemy was time. Time from injury to hospital exceeded 90 minutes in both groups. 90 minutes. Once randomized, it took another 32 minutes. This should take 5 at most if you got a hemorrhagic shock patient. And that's if the resident's doing it who hasn't done one before. Finally, time from randomization into definitive control was an 83 minutes. And the Reboa arm was 64 versus 64 in the standard care. So there was a lot of flailing going on. This is what happens when trauma surgeons are not, for the most part, running the trauma resuscitations. It's run by the EM specialist over there and not us. So I don't know what kind of shenanigans were going on there. The study also suffered from, again, delays in delivery care and in interventions, and the negative results come as absolutely no surprise, and I'm sure Marty will attack it as well he should. Minutes count, and again, in the minutes in that pre-hospital setting, were absolutely huge and likely limited any potential benefit for Reboa. Again, in looking at earlier time hemostasis from Ryan Chang, who worked with us at Houston, looking again that every 15-minute delay in getting hemorrhage control is associated with an increased mortality of 3% every 15-minute delay. So again, applying this and ignoring, again, all the crazy pre-hospital time, you could easily see the potential benefit of randomized product being completely erased by how much time they spent messing around down in the ER on the Reboa trial. And again, in trauma, as in life, it's time is life and death. So again, should we stop the bleeding or should we start letting Marty just keep flailing around. Well, let's dissect this out and let's look at it. And if you're a visual learner, hopefully this is one way you can understand this. We're going to figure out exactly how we need to take care of bleeding in this. And I'm not going to get my video. This sucks. I had Edward Scissorhands going to town, bleeding loss, and me with a little balloon and no blood loss. But I'll leave you with this with some minutes to spare. This is, you know, I mean, I won the debate before I started, but this last slide again. Wow.
There's a lot of material on that last slide. I've got to be honest. We're coming back to that in just a few minutes. Fighting out of the con position, Dr. Marty Schreiber.
All right, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Cotton. Not only is Rubella associated with more death, more morbidity, but it's also associated with Chi-Chi, and I think many of you in the audience know exactly what Chi-Chi is. So as Dr. Cotton just showed you very, very nicely, no good data support its benefit. He did show one paper that shows that there's a survival benefit with Rubella. He attacked it, but showed no paper that showed any benefit of Rubella. Most data shows increased death and morbidity. There are papers written on Rubella that solely talk about complications. When you start having papers about the complications of a procedure, that is a big problem. Use is not increasing. People aren't getting better outcomes with Rubella despite the technologies that was just stated. Maybe in the future it'll get there. It is not there now, and I'm going to show you why. Now let's talk a little bit about Brian Cotton. Brian Cotton is a professor. He's been a mainstay at the University of Texas. He is a research expert. He is a scholar. He's a philosopher, and his philosophy gets better after a few beers as he's talking to the young residents and fellows. He's a political savant. He tells us the purpose of government is to build roads and to protect us from our enemies. That's it. Now, I work at an Army hospital. I'm next to the Joint Base Lewis-McChord that has the 7th Infantry Division and the 1st Special Forces Group. But if that balloon goes up and China attacks us, I'm going to Cotton's house. Because he has more armor and weapons than that entire army in Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Believe it or not, it's true. All right, what do our organizations tell us? The American College of Surgeons, the American College of Emergency Physicians, they came up with a consensus statement. Look at the first thing it says. No current high-grade evidence clearly demonstrates Rubella improves any outcome. They go on to say some other very interesting things. Rubella will be uncommon in most settings because no one wants to put it in because of all the complications it causes. After initial training, there should be ongoing competency program. There should be simulation and cadaver labs. There should be best courses and asset courses. There should be a strong quality management program at each institution because of all the complications. What other procedure do we do that the American College of Surgeons recommends all of this regulatory stuff? None that I'm aware of, Dr. Cotton. Now let's get into the data because Dr. Cotton failed to show any data positive. I'm going to show you all the negative data. A lot of it comes from our good and reliable and extremely brilliant colleague, Bilal Joseph. This is the first paper, TQIP analysis. Looked at Rubella's place within 1 hour of admission. The Rubella was matched 1-2 to no Rubella, and they used propensity score matching to ensure the patients were equally matched. What does it show? Patients who got Rubella, increased renal failure, increased amputations, increased death. That makes me really want to put it in, Dr. Cotton. How about this pelvic fracture group? Dr. Cotton referred to the zone 3 patients, you're going to put up a zone 3 Rubella, the patient's massively bleeding from a pelvic fracture. It's going to save their lives, right? Well, let's look at those data. This paper looked at another TQIP analysis, looked at pelvic fractures receiving more than 4 units of blood in the first 4 hours. They looked at the available interventions, pelvic packing, angioembolization, or Rubella, and did a stepwise regression analysis to control for severity of injury and match the patients. What does it show? Angioembolization patients did the best. Pelvic packing patients did second best. And for all indications, the patients who got Balboa did the worst. They were the most likely to die. Tough to argue, tough to argue. What about our Chinese colleagues? What do they think? Well, our Chinese colleagues, turns out, are pretty smart. They did a meta-analysis and looked at all the papers that have been written on Balboa used for hemodynamically unstable patients. What does this show? Angioembolization. You see everything over here to the left on the odds ratio less than one, angioembolization associated with improved survival. Balboa, every single paper associated with increased mortality. Every single paper on Balboa associated with increased mortality. Okay, here is a paper from the experts on Balboa. These are the people who developed it, who naturalized it. Laura Moore is one of Dr. Cotton's very genius partners. Todd Rasmussen, Charles Fox, Joe DeBoa, all these guys, Megan Brenner, all of them. Here's a whole paper on the horrible things that can happen with Balboa written by the experts themselves. Now, A and B, look at those because these are the only ones where the Balboa is in the right place, a zone one and a zone three. Now, how about some of the others? Here's C. This one's covering up the renal arteries. That's why the patients get more renal failure. Here's D. This one's bouncing off the aortic valve. Oh my God, Houston, we have a problem. How about E? This one's going down the internal iliac. That's not going to help anybody. How about F? This patient has a torn aorta. Now we're putting an aorta, blowing up the balloon, and we're going to blow up the torn aorta. Oh my God. And how are we going to know if the patient has a torn aorta when we put this in? Very dangerous and blunt trauma patients. Let's look at some more. Here's A. This patient has a gunshot wound. The Balboa goes out through the hole in the gunshot wound. These are the experts. How about B? This one's going in the carotid artery. How about C? This one goes in the subclavian artery. How about D? This one's going in the aortic arch. These are the experts doing Balboa, and look what they're doing to people. I'm surprised they even want to go up there and say we should do it. Here's another paper. Megan Brenner, foremost person that wants to do Balboa. This is a very nice paper that shows exactly all the horrible things that happen when you go into Balboa, and it does it very systematically. Number one, what are the physical properties of placing the Balboa? Injury to the femoral artery, pseudoaneurysms, thrombosis of the femoral artery, compartment syndrome, amputation. All in this paper. How about the complications of the placement? I just showed you all of those. And then it goes on to talk about ischemia reperfusion complications, which are severe and develop into multiple organ failure, written by the experts. That's what it shows. Remember, you didn't see a single piece of data from Dr. Cotton. Let me just point out. Now, the argument is we're going to get better at this. The use is going to spread and survival is going to get better. So this study looked at that. Do we do that? Is that what happened? Well, Balboa utilization went up starting from 2017, but then tapered off 2021, 2022. That's what it shows. Now, how about the outcomes? Have they gotten better? No. In fact, you can see slight decreases in survival over time. We're not getting better at this. The technology has not improved. We are not getting better outcomes. So throw that argument right out the door. Here's the UK Balboa. You saw it presented in a very biased way. I'm going to present it to you in an entirely unbiased fashion, okay? Randomized trial, multiple centers, highly intelligent UK individuals. These people, we all came from the UK. Now, it's pragmatic and randomized. Exsanguinating torso trauma. They did standard of care versus standard of care plus Balboa. That's probably the best way to do this study. Primary outcome, 90-day mortality, Bayesian statistics. The patients were well matched for injury severity, types of injury, mechanisms of injury, and essentially everything that's important. What does this show? It shows that if you put a Balboa in people, you are more likely to kill them than to save them. Here's the survival with Balboa. And you know, and so Dr. Cotton said all those things. Does all of that really matter? In this study, if you put a Balboa in a patient, they were more likely to die. This is a randomized trial, okay? Yes, it has limitations, but if Balboa was such a magical, beautiful thing, shouldn't the Balboa patients have done better? Really, just ask yourself that question for a second. So in conclusion, Reboa, high complication rates, high mortality, high morbidity. Other options, angioembolization, pelvic packing, have better outcomes. Those are also demonstrated to be better than Reboa. It is clearly not ready for prime time. The future of Reboa is unclear. And yes, maybe someday it'll get better, but not today, on this day when we have our debate. Thank you.
I have to be honest with you. After expecting a debate from two of my heroes and watching neither of them take one real punch at each other, I'm kind of disappointed in that. I mean, I was trying to figure out how to commandeer the monitors and put video Marty dancing and some other incriminating shit about Brian up on the screen, but I couldn't do it. All right. Brian, just by way of rebuttal, just in a minute or less, anything that you want to add to the conversation at this point?
Yeah, so again, you saw three TQIP studies. Again, TQIP is garbage. It's overused. It's abused. It's supposed to compare centers, not patients. And people like Bilal and others, again, friend of mine, but still, the TQIP stuff is garbage. And he had three surveys of the same damn patient population looking at Reboa different ways. And obviously, you're going to have the same results. I would also say that the TQIP studies that are done were done off the old catheters. The newer catheters are much easier to get in and much less morbid, a lot less complications. We absolutely had a ton of complications with the older ones. So I think that's all the old data. And then finally, at the end of the day, it's kind of like Marty's paper he was talking about earlier in the week about prompt and fast exams, how fast exams sucks. Well, maybe it's you. Maybe you suck at doing fast exams. And so Reboa, if you suck at it, it's going to suck. If I did a robotic gallbladder, I'd probably kill the patient. I've never touched a robot before. I suck at robots, so I ain't going to worry about it. So that's yeah. Do better. So
if you suck, it might be you. That's another quote from this great debate. Marty, question for you. I think one of the points that is really vital that you made is that grown-ups vote with their feet. Trauma surgeons vote with their, and institutions vote with their dollars in development and tech, you know, in new technology. 5 years ago, I was like, man, we need to drop some money in this company and invest in this. And that would have been a mistake at this point. I don't think that would have come back in what we want. So why don't you think we're further along in the development platform?
Well, I mean, I think the issue is that, okay, let me tell you a little story. So Brian says I suck at Reboa. So the truth of the matter is that I was very excited about Reboa. I thought it was going to be great. I really liked the idea. So we got Reboas at OHSU. We all had the training from the Pride Time people came, showed us how all to put it in. I was revved up. I'm like, I'm going to get this pelvic fracture patient. The IR guys aren't going to be ready. I'm going to put this Reboa in. I'm going to, instead of doing ER thoracotomy, I'm going to put, well, we had them for 3 years. And not a single one of them went in. And, you know, it was me and all of my partners, you know, we didn't put it, we actually, one person tried to put one in and it didn't go in properly, just like, you know, all those misplaced Reboas I showed you. And then Pride Time said, we're going to increase the price. And we said, no, we're not going to buy more catheters that are going to be more expensive. We're not putting any of these in. We're going to sell them and buy an exercise bike to put in the call room. And that's exactly what we did. We took our catheters. Now, they became useful because we got an exercise bike out of it. So that was the only use that we got at our institution. So do I suck at Reboa? Probably, because I've never tried to put one in because I never had a patient that met the criteria. Now, I think what happens is people get really excited about the technology and they want to put it in, and they're going to start putting in the patients that don't really need it. But, I mean, bottom line on this debate, Dr. Cotton has not shown you a single piece of data supporting the use of Reboa. Yes, he states TQIP's no good. He says randomized trials no good. Dr. Cotton, why don't you write a paper so that you could come here next year and show us how great Reboa is? You write a lot of papers. Why have you not written a paper showing how great Reboa is? That's my question.
Now we're talking. I can tell you this. That's what I was looking for earlier, okay? I'm glad we're awake now. One note from the moderator's podium. I can tell you this. and I'm not going to jump in on this debate, but the first one that got put in at Parkland when I was the TMD proved without a shadow of a doubt that Reboa catheter in the vena cava does not improve your outcome. Okay. All right. Again, this is audience you participation. That's definitive for sure. All right. If you are voting for the pro position, Dr. Brian Cotton, please raise your hand. No. I said if you are voting for Brian Cotton, go on ahead and raise your hand. Hey, listen, man. I'm going to be honest with you. Hold on.
You would have gotten those results before I presented.
Hold on. I'm running shit here, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. We've been doing this a long time, okay? This is a trend-setting meeting. It teaches people how to do things, and what happens here changes the world. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've ever seen anybody get blanked here yet. So just to make it official... If you're voting for the con position, and Marty Shriver, please raise your hand.
So let me just say one other thing. Obviously, you know, Dr. Cotton and I are good friends, and Dr. Cotton wasn't happy to have to take this position. So
hey,
just so you know, he took one for the team and fell on a sword. So let's give Dr. Cotton a hand.
Sometimes that's the way... Sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles here. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Behind the Knife. This is Patrick Georgioff. I want you to imagine this. It's 2 a.m. and you're rushing a hypotensive trauma patient to the operating room for exploration. Maybe you need to go into the neck, the chest, or the abdomen. Are you prepared for what you might find? Trauma educational resources are extremely limited, and that's why we created the Trauma Surgery Video Atlas. 24 challenging scenarios with high-yield text, beautiful illustrations, and stunning professional-grade video that walks you through the approach and management of devastating injuries in a step-by-step fashion. Check out the link in the show notes for more. There are group discounts available as well. Now, enjoy the episode and dominate the day.
Be sure to check out our website at www.behindtheknife.org. Download our free app available for Apple iOS and Android. Simply search for Behind the Knife in the App Store or Google Play to download the app. In the app, you can listen to our episodes, watch high-yield videos, and even access our premium content, including our oral board reviews and trauma video atlas. You can also follow us on Twitter at Behind the Knife and on Instagram at Behind the Knife Podcast. If you like what you hear, please be sure to leave us a review. Content produced by Behind the Knife is intended for health professionals and is for educational purposes only. We do not diagnose, treat, or offer patient-specific advice. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support.
Until next time, dominate the day.